Boys, get your kinzas ready. Pop. Let's pop a fresh one. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Oh.
That's a bit of a... Yeah, that sounded fresh. All right. Diet Kinza. Diet Pepsi Kinza for the win. And let's start it.
Ouch, my ears.
Hello and welcome, everyone. I don't know if anybody can hear this, but I don't care. For those listening, if you can't hear this, I'm ripping a solo right now as we start the episode. Oh, yeah. All right, here we go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Anti-Shuffle Podcast. Your only source for local and international news, indie metal and alternative scene. I'm your host and guitar player here for tonight, Abdullah. And with me as well is Mansoor. Doesn't have his bass with him, but that's okay.
How's it going?
Next time, bring your bass with you.
Oops.
And gentlemen, Mansoor is reaching back behind him. He's reaching for something. It seems like some kind of instrument. Oh, well, I don't know. It's falling down, I think.
Clumsy old me.
Oh, hey, bass. Here we go. All right, here we go. Wow, yeah, I can hear that pretty clearly. That's pretty snappy sounding. What is that tuned to? What is that tuned to?
I think it's not tuned to anything since I haven't played it in such a long time.
Nice. Yeah, so it's special tuning, some kind of special...
Alt-tuning.
Alternative tuning. Just like us, it's the anti-tuning. Your guitar is tuned to the anti-tuning. All right. So we have a pretty good one this week.
Yeah.
I think it's all right, actually. It's not that great. It's okay.
It's not the worst episode we've done.
It's not the worst episode. It's not the best. It's
not definitely not the best.
Just stick it out here with us. You might have some fun. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. We're going to talk about some music. We're going to talk a bit about some news. You know the drill. Next week, though, 100%, we keep promising. But next week, we have a great guest that's going to be on our show. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, definitely.
But for now, let's talk a little bit about some news. Fred Durst, that rascal, is at it again, demanding royalties from Universal Music. Is this like some kind of old thing? And was this like royalties that he was supposed to get paid from like his, I don't know, like Chocolate Starfish and Significant Other days? Or like, is this like new beef?
Well, apparently, it's a bit of a complicated case, but from what I understood, is that, there's Limp Bizkit are looking for royalties that amount to $200 million, which they believe were, accrued from like their, back in the day when they were at the peak of their success in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I think there is a claim that no, there's a recoupable amount that they had to pay back, which means when a record company gives you, say, an advance to record an album, they expect you to pay it back. But
So just to explain that bit again, because I don't think a lot of people know this. So basically, back in the day, I don't know if this still happens now, but back in the day, like big bands, big names like Limp Bizkit, they would get like a lump sum up front. They would give them like, I don't know, they would front them for like, I don't know, let's say $500,000 and tell them, use that money to live, to pay for the studio, to record your album, and to kind of also maybe go on tour and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the money that you make back. Something like that, right?
The money you make back,
you have to pay back, some kind of... Yeah, and basically you're borrowing money from the record label in order to make the money at the end of the day.
It's a loan, in a way. It's kind of a loan.
Okay.
I don't know if they have to pay interest and whatever, all that stuff. I'm not too sure about that. But you know,
I guess it depends on the contract and how good your artist manager is and setting up a good, you know,
perhaps
contract for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, perhaps. I mean, it doesn't give away all the details, but the band, the argument the band is making is, you know, we've made a lot of money during that period, and we still we found recent success with, you know, with the rise of the or the return of like the popularity of nu metal and stuff, and
specifically as well.
Yeah, they're still apparently getting millions of streams per month, or something like that. And they're saying, look, there's an amount of $200, $1 million that's missing. And they're like, where's that money?
Yeah.
And yeah. They're saying, we have that money, but it was counterfeit.
you had that one locked in, huh? You had it. Well, I mean, you're gonna have to explain the joke. I mean, it's, there's a pretty popular song on a Significant Other record called Counterfeit. So that was a clever play on word there from Sur. But just building on the idea of that, you know, Limp Bizkit is becoming popular again. So it's pretty common practice for. In the world of audio production and music, like there are companies that will release plugins that are amp simulations that emulate what real amps sound like. And not everybody can afford to buy amps. So, you know, as a guitarist, you might, you know, buy a plugin that sounds like your favorite amp so that you can sound like a certain way, right? Oh, I want that Marshall sound. So you go, you find a plugin that sounds like Marshall. Oh, I like Nolly from Periphery and the famous producer, you know. So you go to Neural DSP and you buy the plugin that he has there. So building on the fact that Limp Bizkit is making a comeback, a company called STL Tones made a plugin suite for his sounds, which again showcases how, like, you know, he's becoming, you know, the band is coming back into the mainstream, popular again. You know, people want to sound like their favorite guitarist, and you know, that's like one of them is like Wes Borland, right? I mean, I don't know if you know this, if I ever told you, but I got into guitar because of Wes Borland.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a freak of nature on guitar, man. That guy is.
Absolutely.
I mean,
he, first of all, like, if Limp Bizkit, like, if you just, you know, put Fred Durst aside, his rapping and like cringy lyrics and his vocals, whatever, the band is so talented. Like, they write incredible music. Like, if you just go listen to the music, it is incredible. And Wes is such a unique guitar player, and it showcases as well in the type of guitars that he has. He has like some pretty unique guitars. He has one guitar that's like a weird four-string bass guitar hybrid thing. And it's just, yeah, it just showcases how unique of a player he is.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the bass player, Sam Rivers, and you know, the drummer, such a tight rhythm section, and yeah, they're just fantastic musicians.
They're brothers, right? The drummer and the bassist?
I don't think brothers. So.
You know?
Yeah.
Cousins or something? I think they're related. I'm going to look this up after this.
Okay. Cousins, I don't know. But siblings, I don't know.
I think they might be brothers. We're going to look this up after this. I'm going to verify this. But yeah, you know. Yeah, Limp Bizkit trying to get their money back.
Yeah, I was kidding on the whole counterfeit thing, by the way. But I'm just, yeah, there's it's just they want their money. Otherwise, Fred Durst will break stuff.
Yeah. he's gonna be sour. I don't know. Well, that's a pretty deep cut. You know, if you're into the first album, then you'll probably get that one. But yeah. But yeah, I mean, cool, man. I hope they get their money back. I mean, I think they deserved it and earned it after years of service, right?
Yeah.
This was interesting. So Ola England, famous guitar influencer, owner and CEO, I guess, whatever. I don't know what title you want to give him, but owner of the Solar Guitars brand. Also guitarist of The Haunted, also guitarist of his own solo stuff, recently made a post on YouTube. Apparently, when he does his show things, he'll play like guitar intros. He'll like make up music for each episode, and he'll play that. You know, like it'll have like backing tracks, and you know, he'll play like guitar and stuff like that. And you know, it's pretty like, you know, metal sounding stuff, right? He uploaded a video, and apparently got a takedown notice, a copyright infringement notice. So this typically happens if you put up a YouTube video with music on it that belongs to someone else. And the idea is that you shouldn't, you know, like money should go to the rightful owner of the music. Like if your video has music in it and you're making money, ad revenue money from the ads that are coming in, the money should go to the owner of the song or the record label or whatever, which is fine. But he got a copy strike on his own music, and it was, and when you look at the, and when you look at who, he submitted this copyright infringement, it was like some Mandarin Chinese name, and it was something owned by the Tencent Music Media Company, something like that. Tencent is a famous, really large Chinese corporation that, you know, they make games, they're a conglomerate, right? They have a lot of areas of interest. And I'm not saying it's Tencent themselves. I'm sure like it's at the end of the day, it's a large distribution company. And, you know, I don't know what's the story there. Like, he wasn't very clear about it. But basically, it turns out that there's a guy on Spotify who would take his music, pitch it up a little, slow it down, and then post it on Spotify under his own name, and to make money from that. And that's why he got a copyright infringement from it, because YouTube thought it was a song that belonged to someone else, not him.
And yeah, I saw that. That was insane.
It's insane, and it's quite aggravating and annoying as well. I mean, I really hate this AI trend that's happening right now, and this trend of like music being stolen and things like that. So you have this story of All England, like music is being stolen, and you know, it's being pitched up and pitched down, and like, and then he's getting copyright infringement on his own music. And then, dude, I have not been safe from AI music on music platforms. I don't know what is up. I don't know when are they going to fix this issue, but I am so sick of seeing music being uploaded under the name of my favorite bands, and then it turns out that it's not, it's like some weird garbage AI music with this like weird artwork. And it's even throwing me off to the point where music that's actually being released by my favorite bands I'm confusing it for AI music. Recently Fuming Mouth released like a single, and it's the picture of the lead singer, like a kind of a portrait or something like that, and I thought, oh, this is some weird AI thing, but it turned out it's actually their new song. I just hate this trend so much right now.
Yeah, it's a pity. I watched the videos. Insane. I mean, it's I felt really bad for All England. I mean, to get that, because he's, I mean, of course he's a full-time musician, but he's also a content creator, and you know, this is his bread and butter, obviously. So, you know, he makes music as content as well. But to get slapped with that kind of notice, and I'm curious to see how this transpires, like what will happen next, if he gets a response from that artist or whatever.
So basically so what happened was, you know, the copyright infringement case, you know, was whatever, like YouTube told him, hey, there's a copyright thing, you're not going to be able to make money from this video. There's a way to kind of fight that claim, right? Respond to that claim, and he did, and they came back and they said, no, the copyright owner still thinks that you're in the wrong. And he was like, no, this is my own music. So he resubmitted, and he showed evidence and things like that. And then they got back and they're like, oh, you know, they dropped it. Khalas, like, no.
So, no, yeah, okay. But I don't think he wants it to end there. I don't know what he's going
to
do.
He shouldn't want to end it there. But the thing is, like, he said it even in a video. He's like, I'm just all of England. And that's Tencent Media Company or whatever. Tencent is like a huge Chinese conglomerate, you know, like he can't, like they have all the time, all the money in the world and all the lawyers in the world. And he's like all of England, you know, whatever, as famous as he is, he doesn't have the resources and the money to like waste on fighting such a fight, you know?
Yeah.
But hopefully like this kind of video will make it public and it'll, you know, public opinion will sway it towards him, I guess, more.
We'll see. I'm interested to see what happens next. All right.
Yeah, but that's it for news, buddy. Let's get into some music. Yeah, I didn't make it loud. I didn't make it louder. I don't know why it's so loud right now.
It's super loud.
All right, dude. Why don't you go ahead and start? What okay. You've been listening to recently?
So the first tune is from Abzi, the new song from Abzi. Oh.
He was a guest on a boutique podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Podcast.
A very humble.
A humble podcast.
Yeah. Abzi released the song Red Flags, I believe, and it's the acoustic version of that song. And I thought it was an interesting version. I actually like it more than the other one. I mean, thought it was, I'm feeling maybe it's because I'm listening to a lot of acoustic kind of rock songs these days. I'm listening to a lot of Alice in Chains' Jar of Flies EP.
Oh, you're so funny you're saying that. Like, I literally, over the weekend, was listening to that album.
Jar of Flies? Yeah, it's fantastic.
Good record, dude. Oh, I was listening to it. I was like, man, it's been a while since I heard it. And like, you know, that record, you always come back to it and you just remember how good it is.
Yeah. Just
the vocals, the performance. Like, Jerry Cantrell at his, like, peak.
Yeah, such a fantastic songwriting. So, maybe that's why I enjoyed it a lot. It's a very good song in and of itself. Putting all of the Alice in Chains stuff aside. I thought it was a good rendition. And I never thought, like, when I think of like modern metal, sometimes it's very hard for me to imagine how a song can be translated to the acoustics, you know, as an acoustic song. Whereas like grunge 90s songs are easier for me to imagine as, you know, acoustic songs, but modern metal is very difficult. But I think Abzi nailed it, honestly. So good job, Abzi, man. Really good stuff.
I think his music does lend itself for being translated to acoustic. And to your point, yes, Yanni, there was an era where like a bunch of bands all of a sudden did like unplugged versions of their songs and it translated perfectly. Pearl Jam did one. Nirvana obviously had a famous one. Their music translated to that. Like, it's hard. You'll be hard pressed. Except, remember like from our episode of the top 5 prog albums, and I selected the Contortionist Language.
Yeah.
Did you hear the version, the rediscovered version?
No.
I
didn't.
Listen, you enjoyed that record, right? Like you when we were talking about it, you said you loved. You need after this episode, you will go and you will listen to the rediscovered version. You will go find the rediscovered version on Spotify or whatever platform you use, and it's the last 4 tracks or like 5 tracks on the album. It's basically an interpretation of 5 songs or 4 songs from that record in a kind of almost acoustic, stripped down version of the songs, live, done live as well. So, and they're perfect. The vocals are amazing. Like, the guy's vocals are amazing. So, like, you can really hear it in these performances. So, I definitely go listen to that if you love, like, listening to acoustic, like, stripped down renditions of songs and stuff like that. And, Abzi did a great job with this, with his own song there, you know?
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
We'll definitely check it out. So my other and last choice for this week's episode is 7 Hours After Violet, their new song Cry. So this is the one of the projects of Shavo Odadjian, I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing his name correctly, from System of a Down, the bass player from System of a Down.
It's pretty heavy. I didn't hear the song yet, but like it's heavy stuff, right?
It is. It's very modern metal sounding. You know what I mean? Like lots of shugging riffs and, you know, and a mix of like clean and harsh vocals. And yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, very different from System stuff. You know, I thought it was an okay listen. It wasn't like amazing or anything, but you know, I thought it was decent. But I'm curious to check out the album.
Yeah, I didn't like. I heard a preview of it a little bit. I think when he was teasing the song or whatever, and I kind of was like a bit shocked, like the way it's. I'm not expecting it to sound like System of a Down, but I did not expect like that kind of project to come out of him, because all the other bands had like projects that kind of looked, I guess, a little similar to, a little close to what System of a Down is doing, or at least within the realm of alternative, you know? So it's kind of weird to see him go like that heavy. But yeah, in any case, so what I have been listening to, ask Mansoor, I will tell you.
Yes,
what I've
sir.
Been listening to Mansoor. I've been listening to the new Scowl. Scowl released a new single, the punk rock outfit that has seen a fair bit of popularity in recent years with the resurgence of punk and hardcore. They're like a, you know, they're a hardcore band that's leaning more towards the punk sound, right? Good track, really high production values. It's good. I enjoyed it. You know, I personally, you know, enjoy other bands within this genre a bit more, and I think I really liked some of the other stuff that they released previously. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I would recommend, definitely recommend listening to it. It's fun listen as well, and with really high production values. the Scarab is a the other band I've been listening to is a hardcore band called Scarab that released like they released a couple of songs, 3 Minute Detonator. Pretty excellent tracks. I really like that really weird tremolo, like monster-like vocal effect that he had, that they do in some of these songs. It's a signature of their sound, I guess. But yeah, definitely worth checking out if you're into like hardcore and stuff like that. It's a pretty cool listen and pretty heavy. Just, you know, goes hard. But those were like okay, you know, like stuff that I've been listening to. But really, a bit of some of the standouts from this week is Chat Pile, Cool World. They recently released like a new record called Cool World. They're like a noise rock outfit that released their record last year that was pretty well received. And I really like this record. It's really, really good. If you're into noise rock, if you're into bands like Ken Mode, Daughters, then you will really like this as well. I highly recommend checking it out. I think also what I like about this record, it's a bit more, you know, the vocals is a bit more performative. Like there's more, you know, a bit more singing, a bit more growling, and more traditional kind of vocals. The previous records I felt like were more spoken words, kind of feeling as much as a spoken word, like in a noise rock band can sound. But anyways, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's a cool,
very good album.
Yeah, it's a very, very cool and very interesting and unique.
Yeah.
I only got the chance to listen to half of this record, the Vomit Forth. Released their new record, and I really like this death metal band. I really like the sound. I really like how aggressive they sound and how they elevated the production value as well in this new record as well that they released. Really looking forward to listening to more of it, this record. But, you know, the first half of this record is really just goes hard, does this really good thing of mixing death metal elements with hardcore elements as well. Just really good modern. As modern as a death metal record will get. Like this is for me. It's really good. But that's it in terms of just some of the random stuff that we've been listening to this week. How about we talk a bit about our highlights? And what do we have here in terms of highlights? Okay, your song is up first. So your highlight for this week is a song by The Cure.
Hmm.
I didn't know that they were releasing a new record.
I think they're releasing their final album or something, but it's or they're releasing like two albums now. This is one of them. It's called Songs of a Lost World, but they released the song alone not too long ago. And it's a really good song, and I'm not like a huge Cure fan or anything. I love a lot of their singles, but I thought, you know, Disintegration is one of the best albums of all time. But anyways, this the song alone is kind of harkens back to those songs on Disintegration. It has a very long intro, but and it's, you know, it's very repetitive, and but it's a very visceral and beautiful song, like typical Cure, I'd say, song. But and it's a fantastic listen, and I'm curious to listen to the album. I want to check it out when it comes out. So yeah, I mean, if you love The Cure, I think you'll enjoy this this track.
Yeah, so Disintegration is an album that was released in 1989. Yeah, I mean, yeah. These guys are like legends of the, you know, rock. I personally have not, you know, I never got into them. I feel like I've missed out a lot by not listening to bands like The Cure. But I'll tell you what, though. Here's a little Easter egg about your old buddy Abdullah, your old buddy Muzaj. My wedding song, the song that my wife and I danced to during our wedding, our first dance, was to a rendition of that song that was done by Adele. She did an acoustic version. So yeah, if you love acoustic versions of songs as well, you're going to love this one. Adele, nice. Adele has an acoustic version of Love Song, and it's beautiful. It's such a great song, and that was our first dance song.
Nice.
Sentimental Muzaj stuff right there.
Following up on your just a nice trivial fact, I think Adele was against the shuffle button on Spotify. She ordered the removal of the shuffle button. Well, you remember?
I remember that. What was the thing, though, that like, I mean, it's upsetting for someone to say, oh yeah, you should remove it. Like, but yeah, dude, like at the end of the day, if I want to listen to me, listen, I agree with it. Like, right. I'm the kind of person that like likes to put an album from front to back and listen, get the full experience. That's my listening experience. Right. But dude, like not everybody listens to music like that. And for you to say, everybody should be listening to the, I was like, no shuffle button. It's kind of ridiculous, but, you know what we should say? That's what we should say. That's the story. Like if someone asks us, hey, what's the story with the anti-shuffle name? We should just tell them we were inspired by Adele.
Yeah, she's the OG anti-shuffler, right?
She is the OG anti-shuffler. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, yeah. But so anyway, what's your pick of the week?
Yeah, so yeah, my pick of this week is... Blood Incantation, Absolute Everywhere. Oh my god, dude, I did not expect to love this album as much as I did. And I suspect that you would, like, I don't know if you've listened to this album or not yet, but I would suspect you will love this album. Did you listen to it?
I loved it. Are you kidding me? It's a mind-bending like album. It's just
album
everywhere.
Of the year material. Like, this is like, I mean, this year, by the way, like, I don't know about you, but so far, like, the albums that have been coming out this year, like, I'm just going to rattle off a couple of names quickly. Knocked Loose, High on Fire, Undeath, this record. Like, there's so many records that have come out this year that are just like bangers, like really, really strong showings. And I suspect we're going to have a hard time this year with our selections for, you know, album of the year. But this record, holy moly, holy moly! It does things, man. It goes places. I loved it's from the opening track. First of all, anyways, from the opening track, like it starts off in a death metal, pretty good at death metal sound, and then goes into this synth sci-fi love letter to people who are into like synth and synth type of music. I just love how it blends these different elements of death metal, prog rock, and not even like, I'm talking about old school prog rock. Like there are songs in there that are like honestly sound exactly like something that would be out of a Pink Floyd record or a Rush record or something like that from back in the day, you know, but they do it so well and they do it so tastefully and effortlessly as well. I love this this album from front to back, and I suspect that you love the last track as well because it's a long it's a long track that just goes places as well, and it was such an excellent closing track as well.
It is. I have to give it another listen because I listened to this album once and I was really impressed. And yeah, it's just a trip, man. It's from start to finish. It's just it's like really watching like a sci-fi horror movie. You know what I mean? Like it's just it's insane. It's really insane.
Yeah, they go. I think they've always done this like high concept sci-fi concepts with their records. I mean, this is the record that got them famous, Hidden History of the Human Race. And I remember like listening to it and being like, okay, yeah, it's okay. It's, you know, it's good. Like not being that thoroughly impressed by it. But, and then this record, I think I heard it as well. And I thought it was actually, you know, I need to go back and listen to it because I remember thinking it's kind of boring. But this is incredible. This record is just something else. It's incredible. It's, again, like I said, it goes places. It's got a lot of range, and it does the death metal thing really well. It's like, it's pushing the genre forward. It's pushing death metal forward. It does the old school death metal thing with like proggy elements, with synth, with sci-fi, high sci-fi concepts. It's just so good. It's just so good.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it. And like, that's why, like, I guess that's one of the reasons why I'm so happy about it, because I did not expect that this record is something that I'll enjoy that much, you know?
You know, you should do that thing where, you know, when you watch like a music documentary and then some guy comes on and he's like, I saw that band playing live and I told the guys, this band is going to be the biggest band in the world.
Yeah. I saw it coming. I saw how Blood Incantation. I'm telling you though, like, this is definitely, you know, this album is going to be on the list of a lot of people's like, oh, top album of the year. It's going to be, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, it's the Grammys, right? The Grammys like have like a metal category, right?
Yeah, but are you following the Grammys? I mean, I always feel like they award like the legacy acts. They have like a bias towards.
Yeah, which is, that's true. That's true. But at least, you know, who gets nominated? Like, I mean, last year, I think Spirit Box got nominated for a Grammy or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I would be surprised if Knock Loose does not win a Grammy this year. Knock Loose should definitely get a Grammy. And this album should at least get nominated.
I wouldn't bet on it. I mean, I don't know. I feel like the Grammys are just so, I don't know. I feel like they'll maybe nominate band like Opeth. I don't know who else. Maybe High on Fire.
Well, I was just about to say that. I mean, High on Fire won once, and like they released an album this year. If they win a Grammy, I'd be so happy. I'd be so stoked about that.
Yeah, me too.
And they would deserve it as well. But that record is incredible.
What if they pull another Jethro Tull?
Wait, what is it? What's the story there?
Oh, you don't know the infamous Jethro Tull? Okay, so back in like 1980 something, when Metallica, you know, during their Justice for All era, album got nominated, and it was like the biggest thing in music, like in metal, like, and Justice for All was like all the rave, and it got nominated along with Jethro Tull's album back then. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
So everybody was expecting, and they lost to Jethro Tull, because everybody was like, Metallica will win for sure. Like, you know, everybody bet on Metallica, but yeah. Jethro Tull ended up winning, and it became like a kind of a running joke in the metal community.
I remember, I think at some point, Metallica won a Grammy, I think, for the Black Album or something like that, right? Or for
one of the Grammys. Yeah.
And then Lars Ulrich was like, I'd like to thank Jethro Tull for not having an album this year. Or something, yeah. Something like that. That's so good. Listen, I don't like Lars that much, but like, that was a good one. That was a good jab.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank Jethro Tull for not having an album this year. But yeah, that's a huge problem with the Grammys. Like, they're so old school. Like, they'll just give it, like, Metallica released, I'm trying to remember who won, like, was it Metallica that won for that yellow weird album that they released?
Probably. I don't know who won.
But, like, yeah, they'll always give it to a legacy act or, like, someone based on name and not on, like, without keeping a pulse on, like, what's going on, like, in reality, like, what's popular right now, who's, you know, who's, like, part of the bigger story, who's the, you know, impacting the scene in a huge way. But I mean, it's still cool, right? I mean, I still see like bands and producers that are doing like pretty hardcore stuff and like underground stuff posting like, for your Grammy consideration, I produced this record and this record and this record, or like this like Knock Loose will have like, oh, you know, for your Grammy consideration, our latest record.
It's a marketing thing as well. People say the Grammy nominated album, this and that. So it's not a loss, a total loss, I would say, if you don't win a Grammy, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you get nominated,
yeah,
it's a good. But yeah, this is Blood Incantation. Is wholeheartedly, I would recommend everybody if you're. It's one of those records. I mean, I don't know if I'm like gushing too much about this record, but honestly, like, if someone tells me, if I hear one more person tell me, oh, there's not good rock or metal albums that are coming out recently, the music is dead, it's not good, like, I feel like I would understand if you're not into death metal or if you're not into aggressive music, or maybe you don't like listen to a lot of different types of genres, so that's why you see it that way. But like, maybe you're just not looking hard enough, or maybe you're not expanding your horizons, you know? And it's kind of interesting because there is like a lot of interesting stuff coming out, like this Blood Incantation album, like this new Blood Incantation album is incredible. And it's so diverse and it does a lot of good things. Oh yeah. Really cool album. Restored my faith in humanity, you know?
Prior to the release of this album, Muzaj completely lost all hope in humanity.
Yeah, I was completely lost. You know? I didn't know what to do. I didn't, you know, I'm thinking about my job. I'm thinking about my career, my personal life. But then this album came out, and all of a sudden, everything's clear. You know? It's all good now. Everything's good. Oh man. But yeah, that's. I think that's it for us for this week. So, actually, like I said, we have a guest that's coming next week, inshallah. Looking forward to that one. He is quite prolific, and I think it will be an interesting conversation as well to have and to get to know him and to talk a little bit about his projects in the past and his projects in the future and what's happening and what does he do in his, you know, what is he like in his personal life? What is he like in his professional life and all that stuff? So looking forward to that. I feel like, you know, I don't want to pat ourselves on the back, but I feel like we do a pretty good job of highlighting the unsung heroes of the scene. And we'll try to do that more and more.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking to interview the talented musicians out there, the people who are really, you know, making what we think is great music and, you know, promising acts.
Yeah.
So stick around. Yeah, it'll be a good one.
Other than that, I don't know. I know that we haven't confirmed it, but are we going to have a Spotify list ready?
We're working on it. Yeah, we're working on putting together maybe a Spotify list with.
Yeah.
For what we think is worth listening to. Yeah, so be on the lookout for that.
I mean, we're gonna definitely. So one of our commentators kept saying that, yeah, you know, we talk about music, but we don't have a Spotify list somewhere so people can listen to the stuff that we keep recommending and talking about. So we're gonna have a playlist out there. Hopefully after this episode or with this episode, you're gonna see in the description a link to a Spotify public list that you can go there and see what's the music that we've been discussing in the episode.
Yeah.
And just go enjoy it and tell us how much you like our taste in music and how much you hate our taste in music and how much we suck. But other than that, thank you for being here. Thank you for sticking it out with us, and thank you for listening. And we really appreciate each and every six of you. I know that we've increased our count to six now, so we appreciate mm-hmm. each and every one of you. And I guess anything else you want to say, Mansoor, before we wrap it up?
Well, thanks. Thanks for listening, and be sure to like, share, and subscribe. And stay tuned for next week's episode. See you next week.
Next week, I'll try to get this guitar working in the stream. See ya later!